Let us pray. O God, we thank you for your word, which is meant to be helpful and useful. And as we receive it and digest it, may it give us guidance and strength for the road ahead. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Who wrote the song, "I Feel the Earth Move"? Does anybody know? Carole King, very good. Some of the words go like this: I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down. I feel my head, my heart start to tremble whenever you're around. When I see your face mellow as the month of May, oh darling, I can't stand it when you look at me that way. When you're near me, you tenderly call my name, and I know that my emotions are something I just can't tame. I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down, a tumbling down. I just lose control down to my very soul. I get hot and cold all over, all over, all over. Of course, she is referring to a love interest that she has. But it's amazing the effect that one person can have on her, because that one person shakes the earth. That one person changes her world. That one person rattles her soul. It's disruptive. It's a change in her state of mind and state of being from her normal rhythms and patterns, but in a good way, in an exciting way. And for Carole King, it's a shaking that is cosmic and ecstatic. And it's a gift from God that God created us this way, that we can experience this shaking in an ecstatic and good way, and we can feel that experience. In the same way, though, as God has blessed us with these good disruptions and diversions, we also experience profound disruptions in trying and testing ways. The passage from Hebrews talks about a cosmic disruption from one state of mind and being, which we get used to, which we like and get comfortable to, and then all of a sudden, in the twinkling of an eye, we are moved to another state of being and another state of mind. And the writer refers to this shift as a strong shaking and quaking. Verses 18 to 21 actually talk about a time when Israel had moved away from one state of mind, state of being, to another. After leaving Egypt, now they were wandering in the desert. They were dry and desolate and destitute and unsettled and lost. But Moses guided them to Mount Sinai. And this is what Moses experiences. He experiences it literally and figuratively. This is how it's described: blazing fire, darkness and gloom, a tempest, the sound of a trumpet, an overwhelming voice. There's one word that can describe this whole episode that Moses experiences when he goes up to Mount Sinai. It's that of terrifying. Or in King David's words, as he wrote Psalm 23, it's that time when he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. From a state of mind that is peaceful and gentle and docile and tranquil, to a state of mind that is hostile and oh so terrible. This past week, Marlou and I rented the movie The Impossible. Have any of you seen it? It was about the tsunami in Thailand. It's a true story about this English family on vacation during Christmas of 2004. And I remember back then, 2004, how I was enjoying a Christmas season, but then this earthquake shook and the tsunami, and 200,000 people died. And it kind of impacted that whole Christmas New Year's season in 2004. So the story goes that this family from England is in paradise. They see the palm trees, the sand, the white sand, and the swimming pool, and the lovely resort. When out of the blue, in the Indian Ocean, an earthquake hits, and this wall of water comes crashing onto them. And they are trashed by trees and all kinds of debris, and they get beaten up and battered, and the whole family gets injured and scattered. Many don't survive, but the whole family survived the shaking and the quaking and the rumbling and tumbling, even the little kids. And they shift from one state of mind, one state of being of this idyllic paradise to like a hell. And they have to make their way as the waters settle through the wreckage and the devastation. And they manage to find each other and are reunited, and in the process along the way help other people and live to tell the story. From one state of mind to a violent, devastating shaking, from a frightening crisis and chaos and disorientation and desperation. If we look at the rest of the scripture in verse 22 to 24, it talks about the shift from the shaking of Mount Sinai to Mount Zion. From one state of mind to the different state of mind. Here's how the writer characterizes that shift in being. City of the living God, the New Jerusalem, with angels and festal gatherings and the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven. Spirit of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood that sprinkled that is better than the blood of Abel. That reference to the blood of Abel is from Genesis, where it talks about Cain murdering his brother and the blood spilled on the ground and the blood crying out for release. And so the scripture talks about that shift from the blood that is crying out to a sprinkled blood of Christ Jesus, which is the opposite. Shifting from one state of mind, one state of being, to another state of mind, state of being. From fear and foreboding and doom and gloom and despair and impending death to new life and health and peace and hope. Yesterday marked the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s March on Washington and his famous speech. It was at the height of the American Civil Rights Movement, where more than 200,000 people gathered, and where Martin Luther King Jr. called the nation to opportunity and equality and justice. It's amazing the impact that one person could have in helping a whole group of people shift from one state of being in mind to a different state of being in mind. One of the things he said was that he was speaking about how God would hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. The evils of racism and poverty and war, and King was calling us to shift from the oppressive unjust to civil rights and human rights and equal rights, and a call to action, a call to commitment. From despair and defeat and death to love and hope and a refusal to give in or give up to the overwhelming odds. So we are moved to a hopeful state of mind and state of being. Talking to some members recently, and they feel the stress of our finances, and they feel the stress of our building project. And we need to remember to hang on to hope. In verse 26 and 28 talks about this. It says, at that time his voice shook the earth, but now he promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens. Yet once more indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is created things, so that that which cannot be shaken shall remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks and let us offer to God an acceptable worship in reverence and awe. The reality is that there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on in our lives. We'll be shifting and shaking and quaking from one state of mind to a different state of mind, and then back again, and then back again to hope. As God is shaking us, there is some shaping going on. There cannot be shaping without shaking. Philippians says, the one who began a good work in you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. And that completion, that movement towards completion, means shaking. But we can trust that God is shaking and shaping us for the best, even though the shaking may be terrifying. At times, we need to remind ourselves, this too shall pass. Though the shaking seems despairing and doomed, there is hope. Because in the midst of the shifting of one mind and one state of being to another, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. In other words, our faith, our grounding, our foundation in Christ Jesus will not be shaken. Though the material things around us get moved around, shaken up, jumbled around, tumbled around, changed and shaped and reshaped, our faith in God, our faith in Christ Jesus cannot be shaken. So let us keep that vision before us. Let us not lose sight of that. We will not be shaken in our souls, and that is our hope, because we have an everlasting hope, and that is Christ Jesus. Amen.